This is Almost Entirely Sports with Joshua Briscoe.
I have a comically large head.
On 1510 AM, 99.3 FM, and 1510.com.
Welcome back to Almost Entirely Sports here on ESPN Kansas City, 99.3 FM, 1510 AM. We're over here 4 to 6 every weekday. Tonight after the Chiefs game, I'll be over on Sports Radio 810 WHB doing postgame with Frank Bohl. Tonight, the most exciting thing, I mean, I would argue on the face of the earth, but certainly the most exciting thing for the Kansas City Chiefs, Patrick Mahomes is supposed to play the whole first half tonight. He's getting the start because it's the fourth preseason game, so we have a chance to get our hopefully largest sample size of Pat Mahomes that we have seen so far as a Chief. And a guy who I've wanted to talk to about Patrick Mahomes for a long time joins us now. Matt Waldman is a creator of the Rookie Scouting Portfolio, Football Guy, staff writer. He's at Matt Waldman on Twitter. Matt, first of all, thanks for making the time, and thank you for doing your hour-long breakdown of Patrick Mahomes' college tape so I didn't have to watch all of that college tape without a guide to get me through it.
You're most welcome, Mr. Briscoe.
It was truly helpful, and I've tweeted it out a few times. I'll retweet it again along with the podcast of this. So if you haven't seen that video yet, it is worth your time. Matt, I have a bunch of specific questions I want to ask you about Pat Mahomes, and we'll also talk about Kareem Hunt in a little bit as well. But first, can you share your sort of thesis statement on what you've seen and what you believe about Patrick Mahomes?
Yeah, sure. And I think the best way to go about it is this, is that studying quarterbacks is probably one of the most difficult things to do when it comes to evaluating them correctly in sport, because it's not only about the physical skills, the academic skills of understanding play calls and retaining information and looking at the defense and understanding what the defense does, but it's also the athletic ability to throw the ball and the technical ability to all these different layers of how to play the position physically, technically, intellectually. There's also an emotional intelligence component to quarterbacking that the NFL often overlooks, because they hope from an old school standpoint that if these players have all these other skills and they put it all together and get some experience, that the emotional intelligence of being able to look at things that you've never seen before and be able to execute it with confidence and to be able to encounter difficult situations and play your way out of them and exhibit great leadership, that all those things are going to come based on all these other tools that you have. That's just not true. Mm-hmm. That it's basically you either have that area of the game or you don't. And there's so many different combinations of what make a quarterback successful. But it's easier to teach those academic skills, those technical skills, and if you have the baseline athleticism to play, you can teach those other things. But if you don't have that component where you see what the defense gives you and you don't hesitate and act on it, then you're basically, that's the difference between the quarterback you have right now in Kansas City starting, who's a good quarterback, but he's a quarterback that I believe most Chief fans would probably say, if we had a great team, he could probably get us there. If we have a good team, he's not going to put us on our back to do that. Pat Mahomes has the potential to be that player who can put a team on his back and make a good team great.
And Matt, it's so refreshing to hear someone's, I feel like less of a crazy person right now than I have over the last few months. Because that's the thing that drives me nuts about Alex Smith, is the hesitation and what happens whenever he sees things he hasn't seen before. And Patrick Mahomes seems like a quarterback who thrives in the improvisational space. A guy who takes on new information well. And also a guy who wasn't in a great situation at Texas Tech, right?
No, it's a situation where you're basically, he was forced to create and be a creative player, and that's his strength. But you have to understand, too, that, when people think of creative players, they think of the guys who failed. They think of Johnny Manziel.
Yes.
And Johnny Manziel failed not because he was too small, not because he didn't have a big enough arm. It was because he spent more time partying than he spent time being serious about being a professional. Pat Mahomes obviously doesn't have that problem in the least bit. Mm-hmm. Brett Favre, people get on because he threw more interceptions than any player in history, but he also won 3 MVP titles and won a Super Bowl. So when you look at, and Brett Favre was able to do things that even quarterbacks couldn't do, in their late 30s. he was able to do that, do the type of things that, you know, even guys that are in their early 20s could never do. So it's about, when you look at Patrick Mahomes as an improviser, that's great, but there's more to his game than just being a freewheeling guy. It's just the fact that on top of those academic skills, when a team says, a defense says, we're going to paint you into a corner with scheme and make you throw out of it, certain quarterbacks, even Alex Smith to a certain extent, are a little more cautious and hesitate, whereas Mahomes isn't worried about making a mistake. Mm-hmm. He makes a mistake. He also is capable of being able to throw his way out of situations that a lot of teams are like, if you can get out of this, we'll tip our hat to you. There's nothing more we could have done. And he's that kind of player, like Roethlisberger, Stafford, even Cutler on his good days. Mm-hmm. And obviously, you know, guys like Russell Wilson and Brett Favre. And those are the types of quarterbacks who could create that way.
And one of the things that has been a kind of, at this point, almost a meme of a drawback about Patrick Mahomes is the discussion about his footwork. And you actually complimented Mahomes' footwork in that breakdown, and you had an analogy that I thought was fantastic. You said that he plays quarterback kind of like a shortstop. He's not always going to do all of the precise footwork math, but he's going to get the ball to the second baseman and get the play moving along. Can you expand on what you saw from Mahomes from a footwork perspective and how much or how little that concerns you?
Yeah, because, see, here's the thing. When people evaluate quarterbacks, especially in the media, you know, you're trying to go by what you've learned in terms of the rule of the law. It's
right.
Kind of like, if you read, if I don't know, you may be younger than I am about on this level, but if you ever watch the old Robin Williams movie, Dead Poets Society, and they talk, and there's the famous classroom scene where he talks about poetry, mm-hmm. and it's basically, he's reading from the book, and the guy in the intro is basically describing poetry in the way that you would build, you'd lay brick,
right?
And jokes around about it in such a formulaic way. Well, a lot of evaluators or wannabe evaluators or new guys learning that trade are very technique dependent. So are media guys, because mm-hmm. that's what they've been told and that's what they've seen. But there are always exceptions, and because there are so many layers to quarterbacking, that at the same time, if the player has the arm talent to be able to throw off platform, or if he has the ability to get his feet under him from a bounce position, the feet don't have to be absolutely perfect. Now, the danger of that is that if you're wrong about this guy being the exception, then you look like a fool.
Sure.
And that's usually the problem, is that it's easier just to play it safe. Pat Mahomes is not a play-it-safe player when you evaluate him. And he, when you watch him play, a lot of the quick drops that he executed where you had to make quick pivots on wide receiver throwouts, things that they'll do with, you know, Tyreek Hill on a regular basis, he could get his feet under him very well. He was very quick and precise with his feet in terms of short drops, quick drops. It's just the fact that he has to learn, you know, the drop back game from center a little bit more, three step, five step, and then also at times, you know, where he can refine his skills so that he doesn't have to break the pocket and extend plays all the time. He can learn to be better at hitching, you know, mm-hmm. taking a few steps up into the pocket in a controlled way where you have your feet under you. Now, he can get away with not doing that as much as other players, but at the same time, you don't want to be in a situation where you're either doing exactly what the play asks or you're winging it to an extent where you're putting yourself in danger too much when you could have just taken two precise steps forward, avoid the defensive end coming around the edge, and hit that second read.
That makes me think of a play that you did this film breakdown with Mark Schofield. We'll hopefully have him on sometime in the future also, because I could talk about this
Mark's
all day.
Right.
And there was a play that you guys were watching where you ended up both, like, literally laughing at the fact that Mahomes was under pressure, the pocket was caving in, and he basically just started sprinting towards the line of scrimmage and then threw a bullet, I don't know, 25 yards downfield. What with the talk about getting his feet in those more precise movements and in the pocket, and also his ability to slide up really aggressively or his pocket presence as a whole, what did you see from Mahomes now, and then what do you see for the future as he works on those things you just mentioned?
Sure, because, I mean, you're going to see him make some really dumb throws. He mm-hmm. admits to that. He knows that. That's part of his style. It's about being aggressive. And you'd much rather have a quarterback who's willing to be aggressive and fail at times,
yes.
because they're seeing the open play. They don't, you know, when they drop back on that second or third step and they see the position of the safety, the ball should come out. And, you know, sometimes we see with Alex Smith that when that happens, he'll hitch once or hitch twice and then throw it. And that key throw that turned into an interception or an incomplete pass or a defense pass could have been the difference in the game in terms of field position and where they would have wound up.
Right.
And that's the difference between a good starting quarterback and a top starting quarterback. Even Peyton Manning, one of the more technically savvy quarterbacks in the past 10 years, you know, was one who had that aggressive demeanor and understood when he saw something that was to come out, you know, and he didn't hesitate. So with Mahomes, when you look at some of these movements, yeah, he's going to be able to make all sorts of crazy adjustments. He can throw from any arm slot like a shortstop. He can do it from almost what you would call almost acrobatic angles for a quarterback in the ability to make these throws because he has such a strong arm, and he can all arm it in ways that a lot of quarterbacks just technically cannot do. It's kind of like, you know, you talk about how Jimi Hendrix played a guitar. You know, you may not have said that he had technique like Andre Segovia, but he certainly created his own style, and he was technically unbelievably proficient, even though he was a trailblazer in some respects. So it's kind of like that with quarterbacking. You have that kind of deal where he does some things that a lot of guys and very few will ever be able to do, and he's going to make some throws that will you may recall one or two players in the league ever to do. And what's amazing about that is that his ability to hit tight windows and with players in stride while doing that is something that I haven't seen many quarterbacks ever do. And so for him, it's really about picking up the offense, being able to make the field general type of plays that Tom Brady makes, for instance, maybe not to his level, but being able to look at the defense pre-post snap within that half second before to that half second later and understand where the correct hot read's going to be, understand, you know, where the route adjustment should be able to communicate with your players and take the easy throws. When you can make the easy throws, turn difficult looking situations into easy plays, that's what breaks the back of defenses. Those once in a season or twice or three time in a season plays that Mahomes can make, they'll make highlights and people will talk about those all the time. But what will elevate him from being an unbelievable athlete who plays quarterback, who's kind of a tease in the way that maybe some people have negatively sometimes viewed Stafford, fair or not, Mahomes, if he can elevate his game and have the surrounding talent around him, that's where those easy plays, if he can make those easy plays and work from there, he'll be fine. And part of that, again, is about, you know, refining his footwork that's timed with his drops and timed with his routes that the West Coast system is so famous for.
I think the comparison to Matthew Stafford is very interesting. Also, right now, Matthew Stafford's a guy that I've talked about the last few days as a guy who I would not want to pay as the most highly paid player in football because the NFL is largely a value game. If you get anything like Matt Stafford's performance on a rookie contract, you feel great about it. But I digress. But to that point, I guess I'm hearing you talk about all these things that Mahomes does well and the things that he needs to improve on, the field general type of stuff. And I'm wondering, what were teams seeing that made Mitch Trubisky the sort of clear-cut number one prospect that had a lot of people putting Deshaun Watson above Pat Mahomes in the draft? What is it that has scared people off from Patrick Mahomes other than, because you say he's got to learn how to do the field general stuff. What rookie quarterback is coming in without that kind of learning curve? I mean, Jared Goff.
None of them.
So what's the thing that was scaring teams off about Patrick Mahomes? What's scaring people off now?
Yeah, it's a value game, and that's exactly what you said earlier. It's about risk management. The draft, you have to understand that the draft, when you look at the rounds of the draft, there's seven rounds, and there's a bunch of free agents. If you look at the stats, the statistics show that players who get drafted are the 99.5 percentile of players in college football. That means that they are the top 0.5%. So the difference between a first round player and a seventh round player is so much smaller than the way we blow it up in the media. It's very small. So when you're talking about talent, it's not so much about talent, it's about risk management. Because a team doesn't want to draft a guy in the first round who has a lot of certain risks to them that they can't cover their assets for when they're presenting it from a media standpoint and within their organization. So you're looking at bullet points, just like you would if you're, you know, a law firm. You're probably going to look at, and if you're a prestigious law firm, you're probably looking at Ivy League law schools in terms of as a major bullet point, because that's the big stage from a college standpoint. Mm-hmm. Did you have an internship with a big firm? You know, did you have a good grade point average? Did you display some sort of leadership acumen through organizations, things like that? In the NFL, well, the, you know, Division I football is kind of the Ivy League. And right. Then maybe the high end of that would be the SEC as opposed to, you know, a spread team in the Big 12 for quarterbacking. Right. So, you know, they look for fits where there's minimal risk. The higher the round, usually the smaller the risk. And there's, you know, the athletic standpoint, the physical size, the combine measurements, the, you know, the bowl games and all those things. Where they shouldn't matter as much as they do from a cost-effective standpoint in terms of we don't want to spend a whole bunch of first-round money on a player who people can question us about. Well, that's why they look at these things. So Patrick Mahomes, you know, he's a guy who played in the spread system, that air raid offense that, you know, means that he's going to have to learn more of a West Coast-style system, which means that there's more verbiage that he'll have to learn. Mm-hmm. And the idea that he has to work on all of these different, you know, minor technical, but should exhibit more of the intellectual skills that fit perfectly with the NFL, he fell in the draft a little bit because of that. You know, for us as fans, the difference between rounds seems like a big deal, but it's really not. And it's a smaller difference. But, you know, that's the thing with him. For him, what he's going to have to learn is some of the things we're seeing in the preseason right now. In the first couple games, I've noticed that while he makes some across-the-body throws that are a lot of fun, the last game against the Seahawks, there were at least two plays where he rolled out to his left and looked like he was going to turn those shoulders to the right and throw to the middle of the field and changed his mind, which you can tell that he's been coached on that. Right. And he's trying to resist that urge a little bit. And it doesn't mean he's going to stop doing that. He's probably going to make some really dumb throws in his lifetime doing that. And then he's also going to make some throws that you're just so glad that he can do it. And you're going to wow over some of those plays. That's just kind of the positive and negative in the same way that you may look at Tom Brady and go, well, he doesn't throw an unbelievable deep ball. And if he takes a couple steps upfield and nothing's there, he's probably going to get sacked. Mm-hmm. If somebody blitzes him up the middle and he can't avoid him with the first step, he's toast. Well, Pat Mahomes, all those things I just mentioned with pressure, they can do that to him, and he's going to keep the play alive. So, you know, you have pluses and minuses with these different guys and different layers of how they do it.
Let's look into his development a little bit here. I know this is speculative, but you have a wide base to work from here, I think. The common belief now is that Mahomes will sit for the season behind Alex Smith and then step in next year. Alex Smith becomes even more expensive next year, easier to release next year, and Pat Mahomes is a guy that I think you want to see on the field. But something that I've been kind of battling with is, how much can Patrick Mahomes learn from behind Alex Smith in 1 year? And how much would Patrick Mahomes learn and ultimately benefit by starting this whole season? I know that it's pretty clear that Alex Smith is probably the best option for the team this season. But for the long term, could you make the argument that Mahomes would be best served by playing this year to sort of get his ceiling closer to the team sooner rather than later?
Well, it's certainly a compelling argument, and a lot of people who are kind of on the conventions of NFL wisdom believe in getting these guys on the field as soon as possible. I have the opposite viewpoint of that. I actually believe, you know, at least also from talking with scouts and guys I know in the league, who when we talk about players, we evaluate and talk about the whole QB track. That the analogy that's often used is that the way that the NFL looks at a lot of quarterbacks these days, and it's often owner GM pressured, is that they put them into a frying pan and try and sear them like a steak, mm-hmm. but they don't understand how to make that work, and mm-hmm. they end up burning it because the heat's too high, the pressure's too high, they're not quite ready yet. And the things that Mahomes can learn, you can practice footwork you can practice dropping back and getting that together. It's like an instrument. You know, performance as a performance artist, and that's what quarterbacks really are. If you played any music, you understand that you got to practice scale sometimes. You got to sit there and play it with play-along records or transcribe music or learn technique and practice those techniques and practice them separately from playing a song with a band. Mm-hmm. And because if you can get those things ingrained where you're not thinking about doing it, then that's ingrained enough that now you can just react to what's happening up on the stage. And so with Mahomes, you don't want him thinking about the play call, trying to remember that, trying to remember the adjustment, trying to think about how many steps he's taking with his feet and how wide the space should be, or you know how he's going to execute a certain play. Because when you're thinking on stage, you're not playing. Mm-hmm. You're not reacting in that way. It's not a flow. And a step or two where you're hesitant can kill you in the NFL. Not literally, though, you know, maybe unfortunately in the worst situation, but, you know, hopefully that never happens. But it's the type of deal where it's more from a, you know, metaphorical standpoint that it can really hurt your career. You can make bad plays and you're overthinking, you lose your confidence, and then you don't really, and you lost your confidence before you really got certain things ingrained in your game. And you have to keep those things up. That's why quarterbacks like Blake Bortles, who had a good season second year and didn't work the way that he did heading into his second year, he didn't work that way and heading into his third, and he regressed physically with techniques. So for a guy like Mahomes and a lot of these rookies, it would be wiser for them to at least get a half a season, if not a whole season, to really refine these minor things so that when they get on the field, it's really about talking about things. When the coach takes them aside and said, you know, you missed this backside slant and you missed how the cornerback opened his hips to the outside on that play fake. You know, if the quarterback's thinking about, I just was barely remembered the snap count and the call that I had to recite in the huddle, and my steps are off, and I'm still not feeling comfortable with how I'm throwing the ball, it just doesn't feel right, and I'm not accurate. That first thing the coach mentioned is like three steps ahead. Like, go onto like GQ and see some video where Gordon Ramsay's showing a guy how to cook,
right?
And they have their backs turned and they're both talking about how to make like a crab cake, and the guy completely wrecks it because he can't really cook. When you're in the NFL and learning these new things, that kind of thing can happen. You're overthinking one step, and someone's telling you like the third step, and you're still on step one and screwing that up.
It's a really good analogy. I actually think you had like three analogies. I think you had like a theater analogy and like a cooking analogy, and then also, you know, talking about it as a football game. It's a good look into why that time might be useful. All right, here's an unfair question, and then I want to ask you a couple quick questions about Kareem Hunt before we let you go. But the unfair question is, with what you have seen about Patrick Mahomes, what you know about him, what you see with how the Chiefs are going to manage him, what you know about Andy Reid, how do you think this development of Patrick Mahomes is going to go?
I was overjoyed when he got drafted by the Chiefs. I mean, I'm not a Chiefs fan per se, but I'm a fan of Andy Reid and how he, and you know, this is a guy that worked with Brett Favre and Steve Young and grew up in the West Coast offense with Bill Walsh and worked with Donovan McNabb. What do those guys all have in common? They were all creative players who learned enough about playing from a task-oriented standpoint to develop those field general skills and play within the structure of the game when in ways that it's easy to. But when that structure is taken away, they could still thrive. Reed didn't try to beat that out of them.
Right.
He understood that those were their strengths, and he taught them what they needed to know. So it's a perfect fit. And having Alex Smith there, who was probably one of the, you know, we talk about his weaknesses, but his strength is that he has a professor-like skill of the game when it comes to knowledge, the academic knowledge. He may not have the feel at that highest level, but from the level of being prepared, understanding how, you know, looks and being in the NFL a while and going through tough times and multiple coaching staffs, this is a guy that has seen enough that he's a perfect mentor for a guy like Patrick Mahomes because they have that contrast in styles. But Reed is going to be overseeing him enough to not be like beating out the athletic emotional component out of him. So to me, I think it's the best fit for a quarterback in this class other than your team's rival. And this is an even odder one for probably a lot of people, but I'm a big Chad Kelly fan for similar reasons as Mahomes. He's a very intuitive passer who also is underrated in athletic ability, and we know about his off-field stuff, but the Broncos wanted him, and I wouldn't be surprised if at all next year he's the starter. And I'm hoping as a football fan who loved AFC West football growing up that this is a rivalry for a long time that is on a level of like an Elway Montana for those few years, that we end up having that kind of a rivalry with these two quarterbacks. And they're 1-2 on my board with Mahomes, the top rookie prospect of the quarterbacks this year.
That's fascinating. I was interested in Chad Kelly because I thought the Chiefs might be looking to add a third quarterback to this roster because I think Tyler Bray currently is overpaid and hasn't really done anything to warrant a whole lot of, I think it's a $1.3 million cap hit. But Chad Kelly as your second prospect out of that class, and now in Denver, that's super interesting.
It's unusual, but yeah.
I would settle for a John Elway, Joe Montana result from those two guys. I'd rather not see the Broncos end up with another generational quarterback, but if that's the trade we have to make, I will take it. So
I hear you.
All right, very quickly here, Matt. Kareem Hunt has been thrust into the front lines here for the Chiefs. He had some really interesting tape from Toledo. I saw a few things from him that seemed to stand out for your average college running back. What have you seen from Kareem Hunt? How do you think he's going to deal, more importantly, with being a number one back on an offense that's going to use its running backs?
Yeah, I mean, certainly Kareem Hunt pops off the film when you talk about him just as a ball carrier. You know, he's got good vision, quick feet. He runs with good balance. He has some finishing power to him. And he was a little lighter last year. And so the fact that he's gained some of that muscle back in the right ways, and he's at, what, about 216 to 220 range probably at this point, that's a good thing. And I think that will help him as a feature back in terms of running the ball. But the NFL is more about pass protection. That's where it makes a difference between a bunch of talented college plaques who can make big plays with the ball in their hand and guys who actually stay on the field as feature starters. And that's what's unproven. He's had some good moments in camp, according to people reporting about him as a pass protector. But even Alex Smith said, you know, there's a difference between camp and the regular season. And that difference is that just like quarterbacks and wide receivers with hot reads and quick adjustments pre and post snap, defenses throw more complex things in. Talked to Charkandrick West this past week when Frank Clark was over the A gap on the right side and then half a second beforehand slides to the left. And I don't know if this was West's assignment, but it kind of looked like it to me. And I could be wrong, but it looked like he headed to the right thinking that he was going to block there, and he stopped just for a quick second before hopping to the right because he didn't see anything there and went out for the pass route. But it was Clark looping around the opposite side, getting the hit on Smith, and Smith got the ball out to Tyreek Hill, but it was a little behind him, and Hill dropped it. That's the difference between, you know, one step or one half of a second is the difference between success and failure. And when you look at Hunt missing that block against Cam Chancellor because he hopped outside on a safety blitz off the, you know, left end, and he hopped outside on that play, rather than cutting it off to the inside and forcing Chancellor outside on a designed roll away from him, and it still forced Smith to work to the outside and throw the ball away. These are the things that he's got to prove. He's got to prove that he can be good at diagnosing pass protection and being consistent enough so that he doesn't get Alex Smith hurt and he doesn't force bad plays. Because if that happens, then you're looking at more of a committee scenario early on. It doesn't mean he can't learn, and I'm sure he will. I mean, I've seen same players who did the same thing this weekend and did it well. They were Marshawn Lynch. They were C.J. Anderson. You know, two guys, a good example right there, who were able to do that effectively, the exact same type of blitz. But it comes with time. Spencer Ware wasn't perfect when he first got in there, but he learned and developed. And that's where the difference between Ware and Hunt really was going to be, was pass pro. And if he gets that together, he'll be fine. He has upside. But I likened him stylistically to Chester Taylor. It wasn't a sexy observation, but this was a 1,300-yard back the year before Adrian Peterson got in there. And behind a good line, certainly Hunt can do that his first year as long as he can pass pro.
Matt Waldman, the creator of the Rookie Scouting Portfolio, Football Guy staff writers, at Matt Waldman on Twitter. Matt, where else can everybody find your work?
Sure, you can find me on YouTube at the RSP Film Room. I do lots of film rooms with players as well as different media and different NFL-related people or people who coach-related people. And then you can find my blog at www.mattwaldmanrsp.com.
Matt, if you grace us with your presence again, I promise not to take up half an hour next time, but I could talk to you all day. Thank you so much for joining us, and thank you for all of that just fantastic work there.
It was my pleasure.
Great stuff there from Matt. We'll break it all down whenever we come back.
You're listening to Almost Entirely Sports.
I have a pineapple on my hat today. Have you seen that? Hold on. You see that? It's... I can't see you not because I'm facing away from you.
Yes.
With Joshua Briscoe.
It's a very small pineapple.
I have a small pineapple. A very small pineapple.
I was expecting bigger.
Size isn't everything.
That's been marked.
On ESPN Kansas City.
Welcome back to Almost Entirely Sports. I'm Joshua Briscoe, but this should be Matt Waldman's show. If he wanted it, he could have it right now. So much good stuff there last segment. If you missed it, I'll tweet out the podcast in a little while. A treasure trove of knowledge, especially on Patrick Mahomes. I wanted to talk about what he said on a bunch of things. Largely, my responses will be futile. My breakdown of his breakdown will be futile because you heard it better already. But a couple of things to expand on. First of all, I've been obviously at the front lines of... I think Mahomes would learn more from being on the field this year than he will from sitting. It doesn't matter. It's a moot point. But because he's not going to start unless Alex Smith gets hurt. But Matt's breakdown of why that wouldn't be the case, why that would not be true, was fantastic. I haven't been completely knocked off my pedestal. But the idea that you're learning how to play an instrument, you're doing a part in a play. You're being taught how to cook by Gordon Ramsay and you just learn how to pick up an NFL knife or something, I don't know. It's a fantastic way of looking at it. And there really is a video of Gordon Ramsay trying to teach like an amateur chef how to make a crab cake or something, and but Gordon is doing it at his own pace and he's just verbally doing all the teaching, and at the end there's just a disaster of a crab cake, and I could see how that would eventually drag down on a young quarterback whenever you're saying the specific example he used also was fantastic. Whenever you're saying, hey, you missed the fact that this cornerback turned his hips the wrong way on the outside here, and your receiver was going to get a step on him. If you would have looked over there, you would have had him. The idea that you could be giving a quarterback that criticism, that advice, that bit of information, that thing to work on, that constructive criticism. You're telling him about one of the corner's hips turning the wrong direction. Well, if your quarterback is still learning how to say the plays correctly, your quarterback is worried about dropping the snap because he's not 100% sure he'll remember the snap count if he just goes into autopilot. That's a problem. And I will have my stances, my opinions, and my hot takes, and I will stand with them. And I will also give people the opportunity to convince me that I shouldn't be holding to that stance. And no one has done that so far. Except for how Matt talked about it. That makes sense. And he had information backing it up. He had connection points to it. I can see that. You can practice an instrument by yourself without being a part of the band. There is still, one thing I believe wholeheartedly, is that there's still going to be a rookie season curve whenever he is the starting quarterback next year. there's still going to be a lot of things that he's learning for the first time in the heat of the moment. That's for sure. But I've never believed more than I do right now that he can benefit from the time with Andy Reid before he ends up being on the field. I'm a little less bullish on how spectacular it must be to be behind Andy Reid, but to be behind Alex Smith. But I will digress to that point. The other thing that Matt brought up, he didn't phrase it exactly like this, but this is how I wrote it down, because I was writing down a few of the things that he was saying, a couple of the points to come back to. Because that's what happens whenever you're in a freaking lecture, when you have a professor teaching you. You take notes. Not that it felt like Matt was lecturing me, but you know what I mean. Whenever someone is spitting truth at you, you write it down. And he was saying that, you know, Andy Reid's worked with Steve Young and Donovan McNabb. And he lists off a bunch of other guys, but those are the two that stuck with me because those are the names. With those guys, those were improvisational quarterbacks. Those were guys who thrived under fire. Guys who took risks, who were, as he said, creative quarterbacks. Those were creative quarterbacks. And Andy Reid did not beat that out of them. And right now, really, I know this is irrational. I know that what I'm about to say is an irrational fear, and it's irrational that this is my biggest fear. But even more right now than I am afraid of Patrick Mahomes just not being very good, I am afraid of Andy Reid sort of beating the improv out of Pat Mahomes. I know that's an irrational fear. I know that's not actually the most dangerous problem right now. I know that. I know that's silly. That's the one emotional thing I feel right now that I think I can say is largely free of being burdened by any reasonable amounts of logic. But that scares me, and now I feel better. Because for all of the garbage that we give Andy Reid, I would say justifiably in many, many cases, for the problems that he has, for the mistakes that he makes, from the two-minute drill, the red zone offense, to not trusting Alex Smith more, to not managing the clock, to his timeout usage. For all of the things that there are to criticize Andy Reid about, he's not dumb. He's not going to invest in this quarterback that I'm confident that he wanted and then say, you know what, the thing that you do best, I don't need here. And if that was the case, if that's what he wanted, the Chiefs could have traded up to 10 and taken Deshaun Watson. Deshaun Watson is a more pro-style quarterback, I guess. I mean, he's certainly more Alex Smith-style quarterback. Some people were saying that Deshaun Watson was going to be Alex Smith. Like, as a rookie again, you just hope he ends up in a better situation. He was out there. The Chiefs didn't want that. John Dorsey didn't want that. Andy Reid didn't want that. Allegedly, Brett Veach didn't want that either. So they went with Pat Mahomes. And I'm sure that I could go find somebody. I did, for the record, I did not have Matt on because I knew he would say that Pat Mahomes was his number one quarterback out of the draft last year. In fact, I didn't know that. I knew that he did a lot of really good work on him. I knew that the breakdown that he did with Mark Schofield was really, really good. And I also didn't know that he had Chad Kelly, too. That's crazy. Not that it's dumb, but that's just it's crazy. No one else is doing that. So I'm sure I could go find somebody who watched Mahomes' tape and had some other negative things to say about him. But if you're at this point in the show, I don't know how you can be anything except excited about Patrick Mahomes, man. Really. There was so much in there. So much to be hopeful for. And this is a place where I've been where Matt is at, and he was there even before I was, I understand. But independent of Matt, I was telling you that I'm not afraid of his footwork. Seth Kaiser also telling you, not afraid of his footwork. Aaron Rodgers does not have great footwork. Aaron Rodgers often throws off of imperfect platforms. I've used that phrase, imperfect platforms, more often in the last month than the rest of my life combined. Alex Smith is a guy that needs a very solid, very sturdy platform to throw from. He has to step into his throws fully. If he doesn't, he underthrows guys. Or he misses his spot, there's not enough on it. Or just ducks into the air. You don't have to live life with that guy. And if you have the arm talent to allow yourself to throw from different platforms, I don't think that's covering up for disadvantage. Which is, I think, how it's very often perceived with Patrick Mahomes. Say, oh yeah, you say he's got the arm talent so he can throw. He can throw from his back foot or whatever. All right, you're covering up for his flaw. I really don't think that's what that is. The fact that Patrick Mahomes can throw from different platforms is because of his arm strength. And that's a good thing. You have a more versatile quarterback who can do more versatile things. You have a quarterback who that play against the Seahawks last week, where Alex Smith threw that. I think this is the same pass that Matt was mentioning. I talked about this last week, where Alex Smith throws the ball deep to Tyreek Hill, but Kareem Hunt. I don't remember who the running back was. I think he was saying it was Kareem Hunt, but whatever. The pass protection caves in a little bit. Alex Smith doesn't have a clean pocket to step into, so he underthrows Tyreek Hill. And underthrows, and Hill dropped it. Don't at me. I had enough of that last week. But Alex Smith underthrows Tyreek Hill. Tyreek Hill leaps and turns around and drops the ball still, but it was an underthrown pass. A catchable, but underthrown pass. If you have a quarterback who can make that throw with the traffic around his feet in the pocket, that's a good thing. That is not something he's just lucky to get away with. That's a part of his game. It's an advantage that he has. Aaron Rodgers doesn't have to have a clean pocket. He doesn't have to be throwing to the side of the field he's rolling towards. Phillip Rivers says the same way. Nothing about Phillip Rivers is conventional. Has my tone been bad this segment? I felt kind of aggressive, but not really angry. I think I'm excited aggressive. The other thing I forgot to even... I wrote this down, I forgot to talk to Matt about it, is the whole Mahomes keeping his eyes downfield thing. I wanted to see if he saw that from tape consistently over the years. There's just so much there. Because whenever I asked him, I asked what's there for Mahomes to work on? Because you're optimistic about his sort of shortstop style of playing quarterback with his footwork and his arm and his arm slots. Matt said the thing he has to work on is the more like field general stuff, like the stuff that Tom Brady does really well. No bleeping kidding! That's everybody. I'm not obliquely kidding in the direction of Matt. I'm saying, like, obviously. And that's the thing that you can come up with? Like, that's the biggest thing. Of course it's the biggest thing. It's the biggest thing that's there because that's one of the hardest things you can do. Or at least That's like the hardest thing left for Patrick Mahomes. Because he's already in the right direction on so many other things. How can you not be optimistic? Whenever you hear Matt break all that down, and he says, yeah, and the thing he has to work on really mainly is just like, I don't know, like the Tom Brady stuff, like the field general stuff. All right, I'm in for it, man. That takes a little bit to come around. That is okay. I am in.
I don't know how you can't be excited about that. Oh, it's so exciting.
All right, we're gonna take a break. We're going to take a break. I'm going to go smoke a cigarette. Towel off. Breathlessly get through the last segment.
You're listening to Almost Entirely Sports.
I'm not calling for Alex Smith to get shipped out of town.
With Joshua Briscoe.
I will carry Alex Smith to the airport on my back, like a koala.
On ESPN Kansas City.
That liner is the freaking worst. Welcome back to the show. I'm breathless. It's Pat Mahomes night. I mean, how can you not be excited? The draft was the wedding and tonight is the honeymoon. Weird analogy? Yeah, weird analogy. I'm excited though. There's a lot to look forward to tonight. I'm just kidding. It's really, it's like not really. There are a few things to look forward to tonight. And we'll do the your team sucks Deadspin thing tomorrow. Yeah, thank you, Beards, for telling me in my ear to do that tomorrow. I wasn't gonna try to squeeze it into the last 2 minutes of show we have today.
Just making sure.
A handful of things to watch for tonight. Patrick Mahomes is starting. We're gonna get a half of him. Now I would love to see him behind the first team offensive line. Not tonight. I don't actually want the first team O line to play. But I would like to see him playing behind a good offensive line. Not an option tonight, though, because the backup Chiefs offensive line is terrible right now. But we'll just get to see him for a good 30 minutes of game time. I'm going to be curious to see how much C.J. Spiller and Charkandrick West play and how they play. Now, tonight is an instance where not playing might actually be a good thing. It might be a compliment to be a guy who doesn't get a lot of playing time today. I'm doing a quick check right now to see if Chiefs inactives have popped up yet. Oh, the show's over. Oh, man. I don't see any Chiefs inactives yet, so those haven't come out. But looking at those running backs, I'll be looking forward to seeing the wide receivers. I think the Chiefs will be adding a receiver and a cornerback whenever Saturday rolls around. The tight ends also, there's some battles there to be had. Cam Irving, Reggie Ragland, maybe getting on the field for the first time. All some things to look forward to tonight. But this is the Pat Mahomes show. I want to see how he looks. I just want to watch. I'm not going to break it down. I know it's week four, man. The Chiefs play an actual football game a week from right now against the Patriots in Foxborough. I know the team's set. I'm excited to see Mahomes tonight. Thank you to Matt Waldman for joining the show and bringing all of that genius. Thank you, Beards McFly, for running the operation. My name is Joshua Briscoe. We'll be back tomorrow to break down the preseason game 4-6 on ESPN Kansas City. Follow me at JB Briscoe. Tweet me. At me. Bye, Mom.
You're listening to Almost Entirely Sports with Joshua Briscoe on ESPN Kansas City.